So I wonder, have you ever felt like something is completely beyond your ability? For me, when I think of this, one of the first things, as many, one of the first things that comes to mind is my first essay of my counselling degree year. I felt completely incapable of doing it. I just felt beyond my capacity. I remember I'd put right off writing it for weeks and weeks. And it, I went to bed one night and I knew the next day I had to start writing it because the deadline was there. And I remember in bed and I was laid in the fetal position and I remember going, well, I was actually considering throwing in the towel and going, I just need to step out of this. I can't do this. It's just, it's beyond me. And I remember saying, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. I cannot do this. I need you. I can't do this, God. It's beyond me. And a very familiar verse, Philippians 4:13, came to mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I, in that fetal position, I didn't change my posture. I was still like, oh. But in that fetal position, I began to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this essay through Christ with him helping me. And it's that sense of desperate need for Jesus, for his help, that is the essence of our first beatitude, which is our verse this morning. So let's read all the Beatitudes just to orientate ourselves again this morning. So if you've got your Bibles with you, paper or on your phones, then do please look up Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10. Let's read the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so our verse for today, the first beatitude, as I said, verse 3, is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And as we start, let's just remind ourselves of what blessed means. And I know last week Ollie introduced this series, so some of this he will have touched on. So Warren Wiersbe says the word blessed, used by Jesus here, implies an inner satisfaction and sufficiency that does not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. To be blessed speaks of a deep sense of contentment and well-being that is real, irrespective of the circumstances. Blessed means speaks of being aligned to God's truth, living in sync with the Holy Spirit. To be blessed means fundamentally, Donald Carson says, fundamentally means to be approved. So when God blesses his people, he is approving of them. And Matt Zuccardo says that that word bless implies a sense of the applause of heaven on my life. Now, Max Lucado also goes on to say that the Beatitudes are building blocks. They build on each other. Each one builds on the previous. With our verse today, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," being the foundational block. The beatitude, poor in spirit, it's like it's the hinge to all the others. it opens up the opportunity for all the other beatitudes to be developed in our lives. And as we move forward this morning, what we're going to do is to briefly look at three areas to help us explore this first beatitude. So I'm just going to offer you some thoughts. And the three areas are, what is poor in spirit? Why do I need to be poor in spirit? And how do I become poor in spirit? Okay, so let's start with our first one. What is poor in spirit? Well, I thought it might be helpful to outline some of the things that it's not. So, poor in spirit is not financial destitution or material poverty. Poor in spirit is not poverty of spiritual awareness. In fact, being poor in spirit would indicate increased spiritual awareness. Being poor in spirit is not poor-spiritedness, that idea of being lacking in vitality or courage in some way. And it's not fake humility, nor can it be artificially induced by fake humility. Poor in spirit is not believing or agreeing with the thought that our very being or existence is insignificant, that a person is without value. That is untrue, it's a lie. That thought and belief does not hold up to what we know of our loving and good Father, who demonstrated and declared our worth and value throughout the pages of Scripture and ultimately in the death of Jesus for us. And being poor in spirit does not indicate a poverty of the Holy Spirit. Again, I would suggest the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more that we are aware that we are poor in spirit. And poor in spirit is not a poverty spirit. There's a big difference. A poverty spirit says, I am living in lack. It says that what I have is not enough, and it denies the all-sufficiency of the Saviour. So if that gives us some insight into what poor in spirit is not, what is it to be poor in spirit? Well, Jesus is talking about spiritual poverty. So in contrast to a poverty spirit, to be poor in spirit is a posture of humility. It recognizes that I need the one who is greater than I. It acknowledges the all-sufficiency of the Savior. And when writing about this first beatitude, John MacArthur writes that being poor in spirit is the opposite of self-sufficiency. Spiritual poverty includes the deep humility of recognizing one's utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. And that exact phrase, spiritual bankruptcy apart from God, was found in all the commentaries that I read. It was striking in its prevalence. And I suppose I wonder how that lands with us. That idea of we're spiritually bankrupt without God, apart from him. I wonder if that makes us bristle a little bit under that. I wonder how that sits on our heart and our minds. Our response may tell us a little about our own spiritual poverty or lack of it. And I would encourage you to be curious about your response. What is that you're feeling? Why does that attitude of spiritual bankruptcy apart from God sit the way it does? What's that about? And in being curious about that and wondering about that, then bring that before the Lord. We should bring that before the Lord. We are on a discipleship journey as we apprentice under Jesus. And we're seeing that part of our attitude as apprentices is that we are to be poor in spirit. We're seeing that being poor in spirit is a kingdom characteristic that we are to develop. And it's like the Beatitudes are a mirror held up to our hearts that helps us to see what the attitudes and characteristics of our heart actually are. Being poor in spirit leads us, it propels us to dependency on Jesus. Being poor in spirit propels us to be with him, to abide with him, because we realize we can do nothing without him. And I'm mindful of Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 15, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide in me, and I will abide in you. Poor in spirit, acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy is a confession of our need for God, a humble admission of our inability without him. This beatitude refers to those who have confidence only in God. It refers to those who realize that they do not have the capacity within themselves to do anything apart from him. And it refers to those who recognize, I do not have within myself what it takes to be the person I was created to be. It's the foundational building block, the foundational attitude, the foundational kingdom characteristic of apprentices of Jesus, recognizing our utter need for him as Savior and Lord of all of our lives. We are spiritually bankrupt without him. And this is a position of our hearts and minds that if we can get there, if we can grasp this, that from that place, all the other kingdom characteristics flow. So let's look at our second area. Why do I need to be poor in spirit? Well, very simply, because we are blessed when we are poor in spirit. There's a sense of the applause of heaven on our lives. To acknowledge our own poverty of spirit, our own desperate need for Jesus, is the first step to blessing, to a deep sense of contentment, inner satisfaction, and well-being, despite the circumstances. Why do I need to be poor in spirit? Because when we develop an attitude of being poor in spirit, when we acknowledge our utter bankruptcy apart from him, there's a promise. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. There's a promise. All the riches of the kingdom are available to the person who recognizes their own spiritual bankruptcy apart from him. Until we recognize our poverty, we will not acknowledge our need for a Savior and Lord in every area of our lives. Now, just last week, I was reminded of my own spiritual bankruptcy, my own spiritual poverty, and my very real need for Jesus in a moment of everyday life. One evening last week, I was feeling tired, like I had too much to do. It was late evening, and I went into the kitchen to make myself a salad for work the next day. Now, this in itself, let me say, felt like an effort at that time of night. I was already swinging between that and just go and buy a sandwich, Sarah. Okay, so it felt like an effort. So I went to pull the salad out of the salad things out of the fridge, and the half a red pepper that I had washed, deseeded, and cut the night before had gone. Now, Hannah, our 17-year-old daughter, is also on a let's have salad for lunch phase. So at that point, I marched to the bottom of the stairs and yelled up the stairs in a very accusational, I am not happy tone to Hannah, who was studying in her bedroom, Hannah, did you eat the half a red pepper for your lunch today? Yes, sorry, came the reply. And in a very selfish, thoughtless, and ungenerous reply, I yelled back, that was mine. And I marched back to the kitchen. So Hannah came down soon after and apologized again. But by this point, I'd caught myself. I had caught what was going on. So I apologized. I said my reply was wrong, that I'd got it wrong. And I said she could eat pepper from the fridge anytime she likes. And I just explained that I was feeling very tired. I just didn't want the extra effort of cutting and washing another pepper. There was another pepper in the fridge. Come on, Sarah. And I was sorry. Rupture and repair. So, an everyday family life moment. But what was that about? I mean, poor Hannah, she's in the middle of her hires, and I'm yelling up the stairs about a pepper. I mean, oh, Sarah. So, in a moment of tiredness and overwhelm, my sinful nature kicked in again. And all I could think of was myself. Where was my gentleness? Where was my patience? Where was my generosity? Instead, I'm yelling up the stairs, it was mine. And if I'm brutally honest, I said it to make her feel bad. Not the way I would want to respond. Now, I know that this is a tiny, perhaps insignificant interaction. But as I've pondered on being poor in spirit, it became clear to me that even in the minutiae of life, I need Jesus. I cannot do my life without him. I need Jesus to be able to respond differently. And it turns out that I even need Jesus to help me make salad. Now, let me be clear. This acknowledgement that we are poor in spirit is not a denial of our self-worth. We are not beating ourselves up. We are not devaluing ourselves, as already mentioned, but it is a humble recognition of our sin and our desperate, desperate need of him. So let's move on to our last point. How do I become poor in spirit? Well, I'm just going to pull out two quick points here. A first good step is to acknowledge the current state of our sinful nature. John Stott wrote, "For we are sinners under the holy wrath of God and deserving of nothing but the judgment of God. We have nothing to offer, nothing to plead, nothing to buy the favor of heaven. And that's why we need Jesus. When we become aware of our sin, we become aware of our great need for him. This awareness positions our hearts and our attitude to become poor in spirit. And humility also helps us to become poor in spirit. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." A very well-known quote, I'm sure. So it's not thinking less of yourself. I'm rubbish, I'm a failure, I'm pathetic, I'm useless. That's not what it is. But it's more about the salad incident, in that I was like, I'm tired, I wanted the pepper, my needs, me. It's about thinking of me less. And this feels like aligns with putting to death our sinful nature, emptying ourselves of pride, independence, self-achievement, self-service, and admitting our need for Jesus. Humility keeps us dependent on Jesus and trusting him to meet our every need. Acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy without him, humbly recognizing our great need for him, abiding with him, trusting in his all sufficiency for us, acknowledging our current sinful state, keeping our hearts and minds humble. These are some of the markers for becoming poor in spirit. In teaching on the Beatitudes, Jesus is wanting his disciples, you and I, to develop these kingdom characteristics. They are not characteristics we already have apart from him. And we will not develop these characteristics until we recognize that we are poor in spirit and that we are in great need of him. But as we live with him, as we become more like him, as we do as he did, he helps us to develop these characteristics and attitudes in our lives through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Let me close by reminding us of something of what Max Lucado writes in relation to the Beatitudes. This is no casual shift in attitude. It's a demolition of the old structure and a creation of the new. It's no casual shift in attitude. It's a demolition of the old structure and a creation of the new. The more radical the change, the greater the joy. And it's worth every effort, for this is the joy of God. For this is the joy of God.